So we'll pick up with that last answer and move into further discussion of the Das issue. So would someone like to read us a little bit of Chazara and a little bit of new material? Someone want to give it a whirl? Someone has a Gemara? This Masakha? Beg your pardon? The same Tosos that we've been doing.
So thought must be really important, right? Would the Germans say Das ist gut?
Yeah, Das ist gut. Anyone? Dov? Excellent. Let's start from, we'll step back a few steps. Efsha she's kavin shul lotzeis bo ad acham rocha da'afagad. Let's start from there. Vafil nukit. Vafil nukit luhu kederach kedilason. So Tosa says, you know what, let's go for Brook. Let's take all of the meaning, take him derach kedilason, and we'll still work out a way where this could be done over Las Yasan. How so? That's what Tosa's saying.
So you can take it all the way they grow, but you just have
Kavanah
not to be
able to. In other words, do the Maisa Mitzvah. Do the Maisa Mitzvah. Have what we refer to until now as negative Das or negative Kavanah. And in that way, you'll be able to make the bracha over Las Yasa. How's it going to work out? You pick them up, make the bracha, and then your das will remove, as you'll put this moneah there. You're putting something in the way, you're retarding the kiyum. We explained yesterday that you're not negating the chepta shal mitzvah, and you're not saying that I'm not doing a maisa mitzvah because there's nothing to do about that. It is what it is. You lit candles. You picked up a lulav. You did the maisa. You can't unring a bell. But what you could say is, I'm doing the maisa, true, but I don't want the kiyum yet. I don't want the kiyum until after I finish this procedure of making the bracha. That you could do. That's what Tosas is suggesting. And he says, you know what? Even though there's a sheet, that there's a school of thought that says mitzvahs don't need kavanah, still, according to the sheet that holds mitzvahs don't need kavanah, negative kavanah will work. Now why is he singling out the mitzvahs ain't yichos kavanah shita? Why is he singling? This is a simple question. Why is he singling out for discussion the shita that holds mitzvos don't need kavanah?
You think this wouldn't work?
Meaning, according to the shita that holds mitzvos, according to the other shita, mitzvos need kavanah, then of course it's no good. If you hold mitzvos don't need kavanah, the guy's saying, I don't have kavanah, then he doesn't have kavanah. There's nothing to talk about, right? As I said, just simple question. Just trying to get that out of the way. You see, tells us right away, picking up on the sheet that holds mitzvahs don't need kavanah, you have to ask yourself, hey, what about the sheet that holds mitzvahs need kavanah? Well, that's easy. Mitzvahs need kavanah, then this guy's saying, I hereby declare I don't have kavanah. Okay, you're out. What about the sheet that holds mitzvahs don't need kavanah? Sorry. What about the sheet that holds mitzvahs don't need kavanah? What would you say about that? You would think it wouldn't matter. You would think saying, I don't have kavanah, is of no moment. Why? You don't need kavanah. If you don't need kavanah, you don't need kavanah. So who cares if I say you don't need kavanah, now you make a declaration, I don't have kavanah, so we'll say, great, yashikayot. You didn't need kavanah to begin with, you didn't have kavanah, you got the same mitzvah. Right? So let's take a step back again and say, and ask the following question. We discussed it here a little bit before, but why would you say mitzvahs don't need kavanah? If you're going to hold mitzvahs don't need kavanah, if you're going to say mitzvahs ain't tzrichos kavanah, why would you say that? What does it mean? Let's state it differently. What does it mean when we say mitzvahs don't need kavanah? Is anyone here, brother? Cyber space?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. One possibility is, and this is something that's mentioned by Rishonim and some of the classic Achronim, that when we say mitzvahs don't need kavanah, what we're saying is the mitzvah is a function of the maisa mitzvah, and that's it. When did you do the mitzvah? When you did the mechanical action that constitutes the maisa mitzvah, that's your mitzvah. That is your mitzvah. Kavanah, no kavanah, doesn't matter. If it's the right time, the right object, and the right maisa, that is the mitzvah. That's one possibility. What's another possibility?
What's another possibility?
say that kavanah is not important, or to say that you can't use negative kavanah?
Not forget about negative kavanah. Not up to negative kavanah yet.
You're just saying.
I want to know why you would say. What are you saying when you say mitzvos ain't tzrichos kavanah? So you tell me one possibility is that mitzvos don't need kavanah because the mitzvah is simply a function of the maisa and kavanah plays no role.
Or you can say kavanah is not important.
But. I was thinking more along those lines, and again, that's something also that you find expressed by some of the classic mafarshim, that when we say mitzvah same tzrichos kavanah, we're not saying there's no kavanah element at all. It's not that it's a strict function of the maisa, but rather what? That you need kavanah. Of course you need kavanah to give some boundaries to your maisa, but it's assumed. We assume that when you did this maisa at the right time with the right object, why else would you be doing it if not for the fact that you had kavanah to do the mitzvah? That's a halachic assumption. Called an umdana, called a chazaka. Right? But you're basically saying that, yeah, this guy has kavanah. He needs kavanah and he has it. So those are two possible ways of understanding mitzvahs don't need kavanah. Now, let's take that and go a step further. When would you say that negative kavanah makes a difference? Within the world of those who say mitzvos don't need kavanah, right? Within the world of those shitos who hold mitzvos don't need kavanah, under which understanding would it make sense to say negative kavanah works? Let me just make sure everyone appreciates the question that we're asking. All right, for those that are just joining us, we'll try to catch up quickly. The Tosos here says that even according to the shitas that hold mitzvahs don't need kavanah, negative kavanah will work. Negative kavanah will make a difference. Now, it's important to point out, by the way, that not everyone holds negative kavanah does work. Some say negative kavanah doesn't matter. You have negative kavanah, it's not going to make a difference.
It works in a way that it won't be.
It won't accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. Meaning, I'll pick up the lulav, say, I don't have das, I have negative das, it won't matter. You'll still be yotze.
Some people say that. Some people also say that.
Some say it does work. Some say it does work.
Someone who would hold it the maisa is the only thing.
Yeah. Good. So if you hold that when you say mitzvahs don't need kavanah, if you hold that means that the mitzvah is strictly a function of the maisa, then what role is negative das going to play? None. It's the maisa is still the maisa. I don't care about das. I didn't care about das to begin with. Now you're telling me, well, I have negative das. Well, that's fine. You never needed das to begin with. What about the other mahal? If you hold that mitzvahs don't need kavanah means that really you need kavanah, but it's assumed, then what would you say here?
Then you specifically go against that kavanah, so it works.
Right. What kind of assumption? There's no assumption. There's no room for the assumption anymore. The assumption is only in a neutral state. But here the guy's going out of his way to tell you, he's wearing it on his t-shirt, I don't have kavanah. So he doesn't have kavanah. What right do I have to assume that he's doing this maisa because of this reason? No. In fact, here I know he's doing it not for that reason. Why is he doing it? He's doing it to be ready to do the mitzvah. He's doing it because, like we said before, he wants to bring his lulav and esrog to shul. Or he's picking it up now because he wants to make the bracha. Lady's lighting candles now because she wants to have candles lit when she gets to shul. She doesn't want to be in Kal Shalos right now. She wants to have that set in at some later point. How do I know that? Because she's having negative das. So according to those shitos, it would make sense then to say, if I hold mitzvahs ein tzrichos kavanah, that what? That negative das will work. So I think that's an important step to be made here. And again, this is not unique to lulav. This is shasugya. The Chaim's correct. If you don't hold of negative das, and you want to still have over lasiyasan, you're going to have to resort to one of the earlier few shitas, a few suggestions. I saw a citation to something that I think it's kedai just to spend a little bit of time with. It's very long. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I'll just read a very little part of it, and it's a good opportunity to introduce this sefer that we don't have too much occasion to quote in Shir. And this is actually Yeshiva's copy. It's downstairs for those that ever want to take a look at it. It's called the Stei Chemed. Stei Chemed is something of a, called a Talmudic encyclopedia. Not like a traditional encyclopedia that starts with Aleph and goes through Taf and is very Mesudar in the middle. This is organized alphabetically to an extent, but every few volumes is sort of a different collection. The way the Stei Chemed was written is really fascinating. The author lived in, Dr. J, you can help me out with this, around the Crimea, at the Black Sea, and I don't know exactly what areas that incorporates or includes. But
when
was it? Now you're asking a lot of me.
Of course, that depends when, but that tells us whether it was a Turkish or Russian war.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
More than 2 centuries.
This was published. This was printed Tav Shin Chaf Beis, but I don't believe that was the, you know, the initial printing. That's only 50 some odd years ago, right?
That's 1962.
Yeah, he was much earlier than that. Anyone that has one of those people did.
Is this before the days of printing?
And that's, by the way, that's expressed even in the multiple volumes of the Aruch HaShulchan. In one place, the Aruch HaShulchan seems to suggest that borrowing Sfarim from one person without his rishos might be a problem because he's very makbid on them not becoming torn, unlike Talis and Tefillin. And another place, in the same work, he seems to take a different view on borrowing Sfarim without rishos, the more traditional view, in line with Talis and Tefillin. People want you to do mitzvahs with their objects. And I once heard it said, I think it was Rebelsky who said this, that the reason why that you find these two disparate treatments in the writings of the Aruch HaShulchan himself is because the Aruch HaShulchan didn't sit down and write the whole thing and publish all the volumes at once. They were printed as many Sfarim are piecemeal. And the treatment that suggests that you have to be makbid on the Sfarim unless you know, that's when Sfarim and printing was still very rare. Later, when there was an explosion of printing and people had more printed matter, printed material, one would be less makbid. So today, you know, sometimes people write inside their Sfarim, also the Lor Rishos. That means he's makbid. Otherwise, they'll write Lashem Aretz Malo. And as far as yeshivas go, we generally assume that a person is not makbid. Yeah. Or people write sometimes, you know, only Mutter L'shtamish B'makom U'Bavad. Or they'll write only Mutter in my Mokom and my Dalet Amos. It's for different reasons. Not because I'm not going to be using it. I don't want to come to the base manager and not find my Sefer. I don't want to have to look for it. So you could use it, but you have to use it in my Dalet Amos. Yeah, different things. But I think we generally assume that people are not so makbid on average Sfarim, unless you know a guy. If you know a guy is makbid, then you can't use his stuff. If you know he's generally, let's say you don't know the guy at all, as far as his sheet on Sfarim. But you know he's makbid on his things, I think it's safe to assume that he's makbid on his Sfarim. So getting back to the issue here. His name was Chaim Chizkia Medini. So he traveled around, and any place that he would go, he would sit down and sort of soak up all the local libraries. So then he'd read through the Sfarim. And at a later point in time, he sat down and he put in writing a lot of the material that he had gathered. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about him, just when he lived.
Born in 1833, died in 1904, lived in Israel, also known as the Seid Chemed.
Stei Chemed.
Stei Chemed.
Okay, so not that long ago. Late 18, early 1900s. So he traveled, and at some point in his life, he sat down and he put it all in writing. Now, when you do that, you know, you're sort of going based on memory. It's got lines and lines of quotes. Lines and lines of quotes. And until I knew this fact, that this is how it was written, it always bothered me, because every once in a while he writes a long quote, but he says, I can't say more, I can't answer this question, because ain't sefer zeh tachas yadi. I don't have the sefer. So I always wondered, how are you writing a whole quote that you don't have the sefer? And then I found this out about him, and it made sense. He basically was going from memory. Sounds bizarre to have a huge set of Sfarim like that written from memory, but I guess there are people that are gifted with that ability. So what he has, for example, is just a bunch of, we'll call them random pieces on tefillin. Right? A long discussion on tefillin about one issue, and then the next piece, nothing to do, just also tefillin related. That's how he organized the sefer. Anything that had in his head about tefillin, he put it down in tefillin, anything that... So here he has a piece on mitzvah svichos kavana, piece after piece about mitzvah svichos kavana, many pieces. One doesn't necessarily flow to the other. Each one is an isolated issue. It's not a shear, they're different issues. So this issue on mitzvos is svichas kavana. It's simon samach ches or klal samach ches. If you ever want to take a look at it in chelek dalid, he writes the following. I'm just going to pick out a little bit here. Machlokes. It's a machlokes whether or not mitzvos need kavana. Lamanda amr ein svichas kavana. Nechelku rabbeinu Shmuel v'hara'o. It's machlokes in the Rishonim how we paskin. I'm sorry. Nefuku Rabbeinu Shmuel Varo Hevi Divrei Hamarana Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef brings down this discussion in Tov Kuf Pei Tes. Rabbeinu Shmuel Svirle Dehani Mili B'Stam. That this idea of mitzvahs not needing kavana is stam. Meaning it will work. You'll get a kima mitzvah without kavana. Stam. However, Aval B'Miskavim Shelo Lotzeis. If you have kavana not to be yotze, then Eino yotze. One shita holds, even though we assume mitzvos ain't svichos kavana, l'chumra, right? We hold mitzvos ain't svichos kavana, then what? We say, okay, you're not going to go make a bracha now, you did the ma'isa mitzvah because you did the ma'isa mitzvah, we hold mitzvos ain't svichos kavana. Oh, but some shitas in the Rishonim hold that if you had negative kavana, it's going to be okay. However, the rohidi devarah b'sefer, olam moed, omer, but others say no, even if he gets up and he says, I don't want to be, he's yelling, he's screaming, I don't want to be yotze this mitzvah. And he's holding the lulav and esrog, for example, in his hands, doesn't matter. He's yotze the mitzvah. Why? Because according to that shita, negative kavana doesn't work. Presumably, because those shitas maintain, mitzvahs ain't tzrichos kavana means just that. It's the maisa mitzvah that makes the mitzvah, and that's it. The Rashba and others, other of the Rishonim, the Baal Tosfos, the French rabbis, of the opinion that no, you're not Yotzei. That's consistent with Tosfos here. Tosfos was among the French rabbis. Kasa v'osa mitzvah ina rotsa latzeis b'osa shah lo yotza. Ayin sham shekasa maran the Beis Yosef dinaktina and kedas Rabbeinu Shmuel. We hold like Rabbeinu Shmuel, Shehevi Devar of Rabbeinu Yonah, B'sof Parakama de Brachos, B'sugya, Nakat Kasa de Shechra. I think we may have discussed this case once before. What's the case? He took a cup of beer, a ra'ah. We're not choshish for the ra'ah, B'zeh. V'harav, Beis Chadosh, Me'in Nebach, Kosav, B'shem Aran, Beis Yosef. Darash, B'sovik ha'ra'ah, Dafil Tzaveach, She'in Arot, Tzavati, Tzavei Chavasa, Yatsa. V'utamud, Beis Yosef, Mevur, Darash, B'sovik. That's a little case, something of a machlokas as to hold, how the Rashba holds.
Well, that's the same thing with
Shana. Yeah. So again, he presents many of the shitas here, and in quoting from this Sefer Chai Olam, who I'm not really familiar with, not familiar at all, but it's interesting, it's written according to the Parshios of the Torah, and he brings, for whatever reason, this machlokas, and he brings as the maskana of the Beis Yosef, and he writes, the seeing. Quote, Be'ofen de svarazu muskemes. This is agreed upon by everybody, that negative kavana works. Now we know that's not 100% true. V'lo nimsa cholik al zeh zulas ha-ra'ah, except for the ra'ah. Now again, if we would see Rav Avadya, for example, deal with this tshuva, with this issue, Rav Avadya would say, oh, it's not just the ra'ah, you know, there's 20 other Rishonim, 40 other Rishonim that also held this way, that were just somewhat more obscure, and people didn't know about it. But suffice it to say that it was a less popular position to maintain, certainly among the Balei Tosfos. It's Gam Harosh B'Sof Pergulah HaGazol V'Atosos Sham Aratosos is what he's citing. Kasru LeHedya D'Miskavin Shalotzeitz Lo Yotza. And then he says, well, it goes on to talk about the Rosh. So it's Kedai just to be somewhat familiar with this sugi, because like I said, it comes up many times over. Okay, is that clear? So we have two issues. First issue is, do mitzvos need kavana, do mitzvos not need kavana? If mitzvos don't need kavana, why is it? One of two reasons. Either because a mitzvah is simply a function of the maisa, mechanical action done at the right time, that's a kima mitzvah, kavana is not a factor. Or, no, possibly kavana is a factor, but it's presumed to be present if the maisa is being done properly at the right time. In that case, one could say, perhaps, that a mitzvah done with kavana shalolotzeis, that will work. Why would you hold mitzvahs done without kavana, or specifically with kavana not to be yotzei, won't work? like those other Rishonim, because perhaps they really assume that Kavanah is not a factor altogether, at all. When you say mitzvahs don't need Kavanah, it means no Kavanah at all. All right? Chaim, is that good?
Yes.
Okay. The misasik. So I think it's just an important point to be made. It's a slight, very different perspective, but it's a good argument. That maybe Kavanah, I'll tell you, this is the Birkas Avram, earlier on Sukkah, suggesting that maybe when one has Kavanah Shalolotzeitz, it's not like we've been saying up until now, that Kavanah Shalolotzeitz just affects your Kiyum. He's going a step further and saying, no, Kavanah Shalolotzeitz basically puts you in the status of a misasik. You're stam, you're doing an act, which, yeah, you're right. So if you had all the right intentions, it would be a maisa mitzvah. And then you'd have questions. But you know what? Now you like a misasik. Misasik is a person who's just doing something without really thinking about it. Right? Person walks into the room on Shabbos, not really thinking, turns on the light. Because that's misasik. He just does it by rote. He's not thinking. It wasn't a thought-out maisa. Today is Shabbos. I'm not allowed to do lights on Shabbos and put on the light. No. It's misasik. That's not the same as forgetting it's Shabbos. He knows it's Shabbos. He's just not thinking. Right? That's why they make those covers to put on the lights so people don't fall into that problem. Because it's so common. People just walk in, they turn the lights on. Especially kids, they do it all the time.
No,
yeah.
I was a little bit off topic.
Yeah, it's okay. Okay, so just getting back to the rest of his idea, he wants to say it's like misasik. The ki'ilu nasa me'ilof. It's like it just was done by itself. Hu adin benasa shalom mitzvah. It's the same as a person who did something intentionally shlolo mitzvah. Oh, or alternatively, what else could you say? The name of the shaper have a maisa mitzvah. No, it is. It's a maisa mitzvah. The hayada ma'asa, he knew what he was doing. Ela shlolo olo l'chovaso. It's a different hakira. He's making a hakira now within why negative kavana should work. According to the shitas that hold, negative kavana works. So we had one hakira. What was our hakira? Our hakira was really in terms of why mitzvahs don't need kavanah. And once you make that hakir, then I could say, according to one shita, mitzvahs done with kavanah shalolotzeis would work. But he wants to make a different hakira. How do you understand the way mitzvahs done, maisri, mitzvahs done with kavanah shalolotzeis works? Either you make yourself like a masasik. So you make yourself like a masasik. It's like you did something that's nothing. You didn't do a maisa mitzvah. Or, alternatively, what would you say? That you did the maisa, but it wasn't ola l'chovaso, meaning the kiyum. It affected your kiyum, not your maisa. De'inadim zocha ba'al karcho. Hu adin ein yotzi de'chova k'sheish lo ratzon negdi. When you have negative ratzon, you can't say that if, according to the sheet, doesn't hold this way, you can't say that it inures to my benefit. I don't want the benefit. I don't want the benefit of the kiyum from this maisa. I'm not going to force it upon you. So, what's nafkamina? So, he says, but near the svaras tosvos, which again is tosvos l'shitasam. It's not our tosvos, but it comes out to tosvos who hold that negative kavana works even if you maintain mitzvos, don't need kavana. The ain chisaron beguf ha-maisa. It's not in the guf ha-maisa, which is what we've been saying thus far. That the negative das doesn't touch and concern your maisa. You can't take that away from me. This rises to the level of maisa mitzvah. The rak eino ola l'chavasa. It just doesn't work for the kiyum.
Unlike the Birkas Avraham.
No, this is the Birkas Avraham just presenting that as two possibilities. Now he's going further and saying, it doesn't seem that Tosos is holding that way. It doesn't seem that Tosos is saying that there's no maisa. He gave a chakira.
Will make mice into a non-mice mitzvah.
That's one possibility that he presents.
One possibility, which is now shown to be false.
Well, he's not showing it to be false. He's saying he doesn't think Tosos is opining that way. He thinks Tosos is in line with the second approach that he gave, meaning that there's no kiyum. Rak ino ola lochavaso ukepashtas lashona. What's the lashon of Tosos? It's not this Tosos again. It's Tosos and Lamed Vav. Baal karcho lo nafik. Tosos used the lashon in Lamed Vav, ba'al karcho lo nafik. Against your will, you're not going to be yotzei. So that sounds more like what? The being yotzei aspect. He's not saying ba'al karcho, it's not a maisa mitzvah. He's not saying ba'al karcho lo nata. He's not saying you can't be notel lulav against your yotzei. he's saying you can't be yotze against Yiratzon. So he's trying to prove from Tosos's Lashon that Tosos is of the opinion that it's the Kiyum that's being affected. Yes?
Sounds good.
This lashon only makes sense in the context of being yotzei a mitzvah. It's only a svara to say why you're not yotzei, but it has nothing to do with your maisa mitzvah. Okay, I think this adds a little bit to the sugya, a little bit.
Can we get the last?
Yeah, the last bit.
Section.
The last bit. So just to recap. There's a general question in Shas: do mitzvos nikavana, do mitzvos not nikavana? Tosos here says if you hold mitzvos nikavana, this is not stated openly, but this is certainly implied. If you hold that mitzvos nikavana, then of course this will work. I'll pick up all my dalad minim, derech kedi lasam, and I'll say, I have kavana for this not to work. Well, if you have kavana for it not to work, you didn't do anything, because you need kavana. Tosos says, no. You go a step further, even if you hold mitzvos don't need kavana, this will still work. Why? Negative das. Kavana shel lotzeis. Well, how does that work? So we said it depends. How do you understand the mitzvahs not needing kavana? If mitzvahs don't need kavana because a mitzvah is only a maisa, then it would be hard to make this argument. Because if it doesn't need kavana, then having no kavana or anti-kavana might not help. Because no, kavana is not part of the equation. But if you say kavana is part of it, it's just posited, it's assumed, it's presumed, then what? Then now that a guy's standing and saying, I have no kavana, I have negative kavana, no longer have that assumption. The next bit was to try to explain slightly differently which, you know, Tosos is shita, which way is Tosos holding within negative das. So he says, well, negative das could work in one of two ways. Negative das could either be understood, could be understood to work in one of two ways. Either it's affecting your maisa mitzvah, meaning what I do now, even though it looks like the maisa mitzvah that I would need to be yotzei mitzvah, it's not a maisa mitzvah. Why? Because you had negative das. What did negative das do? It made you like a masasik. It made you like a guy who's not really doing a maisa mitzvah. So just like it's not enough to make you chayev when you did something wrong, because even though it looks like you did something wrong, you had no awareness of what you were doing. Misasik ba'alma. And therefore, it's not the maisa mitzvah which is required for the fulfillment, and therefore, we'll say you're not yotze.
Again, what is misasik
translated as? Misasik?
Unintentional.
It means you sort of, it literally means that you're busy. You're busy, you mean you're occupied with your own thoughts and you're not really thinking about what you're doing. That's the way misasik is generally understood. It's not a... You're preoccupied. Right. Your mind is preoccupied. You did it betoch preoccupation.
Right.
But then he says, no, there's another way to understand it. And this is the way that we've explained Kavana Shel Lotzeis. Kavana Shel Lotzeis doesn't affect your Maisa, but it affects your Kiyam.
Oh, okay.
And he brings a Raya from Tosos on Lamed Vav, that that's the way Tosos really understands Kavana Shel Lotzeis. Because what does he say? It says you can't be yotze ba'al karcho. You can't force a guy to be yotze the mitzvah. So he takes from that lashon and he says, oh, you see, Tosos is focused on what? On the being yotze, on the lotzeis. That has nothing to do with the maisa. He doesn't say you can't be no-tail ba'al karcho. You can't take a lulav against the lulav. He says you can't be yotze. Can't be yotze makes it seem that Tosos is going more along the lines of what? Of kiyum. I lit the candle, but I said, I don't want this maisa to be considered an act of Kabbal Shabbos. I'm holding a lulav and esrog, but I don't want it to be considered an act of fulfilling this mitzvah. Did I do the maisa? Yeah, I did the maisa. That's the same maisa that I would have had to do if I wanted to do the mitzvah. That's the maisa mitzvah. But normally when I do a maisa mitzvah, the kiyum is automatic. But here I'm saying, no, I don't want it to be automatic. I want to make the bracha first. So I'm going out of my way to have this negative das, negative kavana, right? So that I can make sure that my bracha is over Lasi Asam. I'll remove this shunt. I'll put the shunt in place. I'm saying I have no das. I have negative kavanah now. Negative das. I don't want it to be. I don't want this maisa to be ola to a kima mitzvah. Then I'll remove it and I'll say now that I made the bracha, let the water flow and that's it. Now I want the kiyum. So the bracha came right before the kiyum. Yes.
Again, these last two parts. Either negative das impacts the maisa mitzvah by making it into a masasik, making him into a masasik.
Right. Or like a masasik. I don't know if he'd be actually a masasik, but he says kimo masasik ba'alma, like a masasik.
Okay, like.
It's hard to say he's a masasik because this is a very thought out thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's like the opposite of masasik.
Yeah.
But it makes him begeder masasik. Okay, you know, it makes him ke'ena masasik. Halachically like a masasik.
Or the other way is it impacts the kiyum.
That's right. And he brings the raya that it's really the kiyum that Tosfos is more focused on.
Or it holds the kiyum in abeyance.
Yeah, nice. That's right. It retards the kiyum.
Yeah. Holds the kiyum in abeyance.
Yeah, much better. He's holding the dal minim, but the Gemara says, mida agbe nafikbe. That's it. That's the mitzvah. So here he says, you know what? I'm going to pick it up, but I don't want to be yotze now. Then I'll make the bracha. As soon as I make the bracha, now I'll be yotze. So now my bracha is coming right before my fulfillment of the mitzvah. Exactly. But he's saying that's why you would do it this way. The question is, how do you get over lasiyos on atilas luluf? Right? That's the problem. Because other mitzvahs, you have some chance to do something. You could say, asher k'sharam sosov etzivano alachilas matzah, it's in your hand, and you eat it. You could say, asher k'sharam sosov etzivano lukbo mezuzah, and you could put the mezuzah in place. You could say, asher k'sharam sosov etzivano alashkita, and you could check the animal. You always have a chance to make the bracha, be poised to do the mitzvah, and then do the mitzvah. So it's over las yasa. Lulav is very hard. Because as soon as you pick it up, that's the mitzvah. So that's another suggestion. That was the first suggestion in Tosfos. But then he didn't like that. He says that's too far removed. It's too attenuated. It doesn't seem like your bracha is attached to the mitzvah. It's more like in the space. Yeah. This is the Rav's idea. So when Tosos mentions that the practice of making the bracha of Al Natil Shadayim after the actual Natila, but prior to the Nigav, still rises to the level of Over Las Yalson, he writes the following. He writes, Inami Mishum de Lod Gomro Mitzvaso ad Achani Nua by Lulav. Just like the mitzvah is not complete until after the Nua. The high time, Anami Mevarchin and Antil Shadayim Achanitila de Lod Gomar Mitzvaso ad Achanigov. Certainly implying that he's of the opinion that the Nigov is part of the mitzvah. Like any other mitzvah Nimshachas, mentioned many times, the person didn't make the bracha at the very beginning, so he lost out on the bracha over there, but he could still do it midway. As long as the remainder is ongoing and the bracha is over Las Yasan, no problem. Achlafiza Tzarech Iyan, Lama Mavarchan Achar Natil Lefi Nigav Yadayim. Lefnei Nigav Yadayim. Hello, Mipirish Rashi Mesecha Sota, Mashma Shahadin She'ein Lecho Lechem Lefnei Nigav, Eino Din B'Taharas V'Natil Sayyadayim. But I'll say one second. Washing and drying are not necessarily integrally related. It's not like the Nanuim being somehow associated with the Lulav. It's an external halacha. You're not allowed to eat the bread that's wet. Now you made it not pleasant to eat. Now since the drawing is not part of the netila per se. Then what? Meharoi, it's proper, shetiha bracha lefnei ha-netilah. Now, going back to the way it should be, the bracha should be before the netilah. V'achein kein pasak ha-rambam. And that's the way the Rambam paskens. L'vorech al-netilah sadayim dafka lefnei ha-netilah. That's in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Gimel of Hilchos Brachos. Why? He sover shen nigav ha-yadayim. Eino chelek mitzvah netilah sadayim gufa. It's not part of netilah sadayim. And how do we know that? And this, I think, is... It's really a nice idea. I mean, just a raya, but it's just a great raya. Where does the Rambam talk about these two things? Netila and Nigav. So if it's like Tosos is suggesting, it should be one right after the other, right? Or close succession. When he talks about Netilas Yadayim, he doesn't mention Nigav at all. The Rakba Halacha Achrona Sheba Perek, some 16 halachas later, and Halacha Chaf, from Halacha Dal to Halacha Chaf, that's when the Rambam mentions Nigav. Then the Rambam first mentions the halacha that you're not supposed to eat with wet hands, because it makes the food distasteful. Harei shel Harambam ein nigav hayadayim chelak mi mitzvah sanatila. You see, the way the Rambam envisioned this mitzvah of netilas yadayim, it was separate and apart from nigav. Ki mitzvah sanatila he didn't tahara sayadayim. The haraya ki gam tvilas yadayim b'mikvah moelas. You see, it's not only netila which could render your hands fit for eating, but you could even immerse them in a mikvah, in a kosher mikvah. That process is a whole separate discussion. V'sham polim hamayim levadam v'lo nigav. And if you do that, you don't need nigav. There's no nigav, and it's not part of the procedure. You dip them in the mikvah, and that's it. What's that? No, not that you would be okay, but that the process is finished. That your hands are tahor.
So you do not need to dry them.
He's trying to show you that the taharas yadayim is separate and apart from nigav. Nigav has nothing to do with your taharas yadayim. That's his point. Now, I'll dip my hands in the mikvah. My hands are totally fit for use as utensils of eating. You have to dry your hands? Yeah, but that has nothing to do with your taharas yadayim. Taharas yadayim is over. That's his point. Nigav is the drying.
That's right.
So he says, "Din nigav chayiv acharhu, chiv acharhu, bavade einbo bracha l'rambam." There's no bracha on this nigav. It's a separate halacha. Shlo kedas atosos. Now, just lest anyone think that this is only the shita of the Rambam and it's a unique shita, and anyone that does this is, bucking the system. The bir halacha in discussing this halacha of when to do the bracha on the Tilas Yadayim pretty much mentions both shitos, and it does not seem to advocate for one over the other, and it seems to say that they're both acceptable. Yeah, so I'm just saying, I know sometimes people look at others who make the bracha before washing, so what are you doing? Is that some...